Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Joseph Addison was a British writer who lived during the turn of the 18th century. His style of writing, that of being brief and witty, has endured long past his own death. He is quoted as having said, "To be perfectly just is an attribute of the divine nature. To be so to the utmost of our abilities is the glory of man." In that brief statement, Addison recognized, rightly, that God is the one who is perfectly just. And I believe most religious people in the world would readily admit such. But I wonder if we fully realize the meaning of God's justice. Do we realize that God's justice demands a time of punishment for those who are disobedient? That's our topic today. Thank you for joining us today. It's always our privilege to get together with you each week and to study God's Word. Even when we have a topic that most people would not think of as enjoyable, it's still enjoyable to spend time in God's Word. Last week we began a study entitled, "Your Sin Will Find You Out." This, of course, comes from Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. There the people of the tribes of Reuben and Gad had been warned that if they did not return or did not cross over the river and help their brothers subdue the land before returning to their own inheritance, that their sin would find them out. This is proven to be true at many times throughout the Bible, and we began our study last week by noticing that God is one who exposes sin. Now, that's not the case with man. Man has always done all that he can to try to hide his sin, both from other men and from God, and sometimes even from himself. But the Bible has shown us that no matter how hard man tries, God always exposes sin. We looked at the case of Adam and Eve, who committed the first sin in the Garden of Eden, and tried to hide themselves from God, and could not. We looked at the case of the great prophet Jonah, who tried to run away from God and his responsibility to preach in Nineveh. Yet again, he could not escape God. And then we looked at Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, how they had lied to God and could have easily fooled mankind, but they could not fool God, and because of their lie, they were struck dead. God is one who exposes man's sin. He does so because God is, by his very nature, light. In fact, the Bible oftentimes likens God to light, in fact calls him light and the source of light. And light is that which exposes those things that are darkness, those things that are wrong. For this very reason, Jesus was hated when he came into the world, John 3, verses 19 through 21. And we as the children of God must walk in the light, and we cannot have fellowship with darkness, but rather we have to expose or reprove those works of darkness, Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 11. Because of this, we can easily understand how God is the one who is an exposer of sin. But this week I'd like for us to turn our attention in a slightly different direction. It is true that God exposes man's sin, and it is also equally true that God punishes sin. When God exposes a man's sin, it isn't just for the purpose of making the man feel guilty. It is for the purpose of making the man feel guilty with a godly sorrow, so that he might repent and avoid the punishment that is coming, because God surely does punish the sinful. Man has been warned of this from the very beginning of time. We began last week with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and we'll return to that. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, we find that the serpent comes to the woman, and he asks her what God has allowed and what God has prohibited. And when she answers, and she answers rightly, that God had told them they could not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that was in the midst of the garden, the devil replies that they would not die, but rather, if they ate of it, they would become like a god, knowing the difference in right and wrong. In the very command that God gave that they were not to eat of that tree, God told them what would happen if they did. He told them that in the day that they ate of it, or in the day that they touched it, they would die. Because of this, we see that God has always been one who warned us in advance of the punishment that would come from sin. God is one who punishes sin. When he gave the law of Moses in Exodus chapter 20, we see there that God has specifically told them in verses 4 through 6 that they weren't to make any graven or carved images or any likeness of anything that they might bow down and worship. And he tells them why. "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." He warned them in the very giving of the law that there was punishment involved if they did not keep the law. Because of this, we see that God has warned man that there is a day of punishment coming if we are disobedient. Now, he also explains to us that it is the person who commits the wrong who will be punished. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, it says, "The soul that sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." If we do right, God will judge us that way. If we do wrong, God will judge us that way as well. We cannot fool God, yet we also do not bear the sin of someone else. You will not have to answer for my sins, nor will I have to answer for yours. But rather, I will stand before God giving an account of myself, and you will stand before God giving an account of yourself. Now, the Bible tells us that God even requires the ultimate punishment for sin. In Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is a punishment attached to sin, and it is a terrible punishment, for in the end, if we do not address our sins properly, they stand before us in judgment. And if our sins are still attached to us in judgment, then we have death, eternal death, spiritual death, the second death, as our punishment. It is because this is such an extreme punishment and such a terrible and everlasting punishment that God has made it possible for us to have eternal life. The same passage that tells us that sin brings about death tells us God gives as a gift eternal life through Christ Jesus. A great sacrifice was necessary in order to purchase that for us, and Jesus willingly made it because He loves you and He loves me. Now, man often concludes that much of the punishment he reads about in the Bible is too cruel to be fair. Therefore, man many times chooses to ignore the Bible's warnings. We instead erect for ourselves a false hope. We erect the false hope that in the end, I will not be punished. God has said that I will be, but he's just too loving to do that. Well, the Bible teaches us that God is a loving God. But it also teaches us that God is just. Now, we talked about that at the very beginning of the program, that the justice of God requires certain things. And one of the things that it demands is that there is a day of punishment for the wicked. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, Paul wrote, "Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Paul was writing about the fact that many of the people of that day had turned to such great wickedness that even though they knew that God was going to judge, even though that judgment is called a righteous judgment, and even though it says that those who practice these wicked things are worthy of death, there were those who still did and approved of others who did those things. This should teach us that God's judgment is righteous, and that if we stand before Him in a wicked state, our sins not washed away, then we are worthy of death, and justice will require nothing less. Now, this justice of God cannot be circumvented. We talked about man trying to hide his sin. We simply cannot get around the justice of God. Sometimes we think that we can trick someone, and oftentimes here on earth we can. We may get away with something for an extended period of time, maybe a year or 2 years, without anyone finding that we're doing something wrong. I have known of cases where men have gotten away with doing things wrong for decades, only in the end for it to come to light. But even if we could do wrong in this life, and no one ever find out in this world, God would still know. Notice the language of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10. This is God speaking to Cain. Now, Cain has killed his brother Abel. They both offered sacrifices. Abel's was accepted because he was obedient. Cain's was not accepted because he was disobedient. Cain, in his anger, kills his brother Abel. And then God speaks to Cain, asking him where his brother is. Finally, God tells Cain, Genesis chapter 10 and verse 4, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground." Even if Cain had not admitted his guilt, God knew what he had done. He knew that he had done wrong. And the figure of speech he uses is that the blood of Abel would cry out from the ground, and God would know it. It's a cry for justice. Now, this very same figure of speech is used in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 19 and about verse 40, we find that Jesus is in the temple, and there are those who lift their voices in praise and worship to Jesus. Because of this, the leaders of the temple and the rulers of the people were very displeased. They wanted to know why he didn't speak up and stop these people from worshiping him. Well, the reason he didn't is because he is God and worthy of worship. But Jesus said if he told them to keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. The meaning was that even the stones themselves would cry out in praises to him, because the fact that he is God is so evident and that he is worthy of praise is so apparent that if the people didn't do it, then it would be done otherwise. This is the exact same figure of speech that was used in God knowing what Cain had done was wrong. This should teach us that the justice of God and the fact that God is going to punish for wrongdoing is just as clear and just as true and just as easily seen as the fact that Jesus Christ is divine and worthy of our praise. Even David, the great David, the king of Israel from old, the most powerful man in the world during his time, could not escape his own sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He then had her husband murdered in order to try to cover up that adultery, yet he could not escape his sin. Until he turned to God in repentance, that sin was there and was haunting him, and he suffered the consequences of having done so. When the prophet of God came to him and convicted him of his sin, he turned to God, and his guilt was taken away in his repentance to God. However, the consequences of his sin still stood, and that child that had been conceived in adultery died. David was the most powerful man in all the world. He could command entire nations to do his will, yet he could not escape his own sin. Such is certainly true of us today. God is one who exposes sin, and God is one who will punish our sins